Coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast.
Thank you for pouring salt on the wound from my 0-2 last two games. I appreciate that.
The best way that we have to defend the run seems to be just allowing everybody to throw all over us.
Yeah, keep that up, will you? At least through Monday. That'd be fantastic.
Oh, there's lots of salt to go around. Here we go.
Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to yet another great edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. I am Pod Vader, and it is the Wednesday interview show. Two interviews for you today instead of three. We like to do three. Sometimes we mix it up. Sometimes we only do two. This week, we only have two. We're talking to Kevin of The Fantasy Football Guys, TFFG on Twitter. Talking, obviously, about the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Football League. Yeah, things have really changed for me in that particular league. And then the Thursday night preview, it is the New England Patriots at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. James Yarko of thepewterplank.com will join us to help preview that game along with Patrick, our Patriots superfan. And there's where some of that salt comes into play. And by the way, we don't have a Buccaneers superfan. So if you want to be a member of this particular podcast and represent your favorite team, if you haven't heard from your superfan in quite some time, you haven't seen them write a preview at nextfanup.wordpress.com, you haven't heard them on this particular show, send in an application. I can tell you right now, the standards are very low. Nextfanup@gmail.com is our email address, and we are looking for a Tampa Bay Buccaneers superfan. It's the team. It's the only team that we have nobody representing a team. There are other people that are assigned to other teams that may or may not be doing their jobs, but that's a whole nother story. I mentioned our website, nextfanup.wordpress.com. That's the place where you can see a lot of our written previews by the superfans. You'll want to go there to check that out. We also have articles in there. We have a great one from James, our Eagles superfan, that was based on the politics in football conversation we had last week. I highly recommend that you check that piece out, read it, understand it, and really open up your hearts and your minds to a different point of view. I think that's what's most important and what's lacking in today's society at this particular point. We need to be a lot more cognizant of other people's points of view and accept them and understand them and understand why there are differences and understand why they see something a little bit differently than maybe you see it. If we did all that, this world would be a better place. That's for sure. We also are looking to interact with you on Twitter at NFU Podcast and on Facebook, facebook.com/NFU Podcast. That's where all of our podcasts are listed. And of course, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, AHA Radio. When you do, please leave us a review. We appreciate those. They help other people find the show, which we would desperately love to find more people listening to our podcast. Who doesn't want more people listening to their podcast? I would like to find the podcaster who doesn't want a larger audience. We certainly would love a larger audience. Share it with a friend. Tell your friend to share it with a friend, and so on and so forth. Hey, with all of that, let's talk about a friend right now, a fantasy friend. It's Kevin from the Fantasy Football Guys. All right, so it's time for the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League update. You can tell by the tone of my voice that that 2-0 start, of course, as predicted by my fellow Next Fan Up co-hosts, was not going to last very long. As I dropped one to Matt Chatham, I'm now 2-2. Another guy who started off strong and has also fallen in recent weeks is my current guest, and that is Kevin from the Fantasy Football Guys, one of our newest members. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
I'm all right, man. Thank you for pouring salt on the wound from my 0-2 last two games. I appreciate that. Last night was a heartbreaker. So I'm 2-1. I'm thinking, oh, you know, at the start of the night, I'm like, I'm going to be 3-1 because there's no way that Cousins and Kelsey are going. I was 40 points up, man. And they ended up scoring 40.6 points between the two of them. And I took the L.
Yeah, that's a hard luck loss. 109 to 108.4. You're hoping for a scoring change at some point this week. Does he have any?
Last night the score was 108.8. So there was a scoring change. Paramaniac got an extra 0.2 to solidify the win. So yeah, it was a bad beat.
Oh man. We have fractional point scoring now in the ESPN league. Plus it's a half point PPR. Yeah, Kelsons and Cousins actually combined for 41.5 points. Yeah.
Yeah, it was
that is a tough beat. So what do you do to come back from, I mean, you're scoring points, you're doing everything you're supposed to do. Is there anything that you're going to do? Is there any sort of reaction to the way your last couple of weeks have gone? I mean, we're now at the quarter pole and, you know, you and I both sit at 2-2, but I have a feeling you have a more comfortable 2-2 than mine.
Well, I don't know. Is there ever a real comfortable 2-2? Well, you know what? You say we're at the quarter pole, and we are for the NFL season, but for the fantasy season, we're really at the third pole, if you will, because, you know, fantasy playoffs generally start week 14, right? So, you know, we're really a third of the way through, so that makes it even more daunting. I don't know. I kind of think my team is good. I'm pretty happy that I've got the team playing the Patriots this week. I have Jameis Winston at cornerback, so I can pretty much guarantee a 300-plus yard, three-touchdown game. I'm pretty excited about
salt
that.
In the wounds there. That was not nice. Yeah.
Sorry about that, bro. You know, but I think I have good players, you know. I have Diggs and I have Devontae Freeman and Randall Cobb. I mean, I'm a little questionable at tight end, but you know, there's things I can do. It's just, you know, for me it's just a matter of working the waiver wire like it's my job, you know, and that's what I do. I mean, I do a waiver wire show, so I'm really up on what these things are, you know, what these guys are that I can pick up, and I just do that. And, you know, hope it works out.
Yeah, it seems that, you know, this is these last 2 weeks have been weird ones. You know, 2 weeks ago, I said it was the Jim Mora week. You think you know, but you don't know and you never will. Last week, right. I said it was the contender pretender week. And there's some pretender teams that, well, at least I thought were pretender teams that they could actually be contenders. And the LA Rams might be one of them. What about Jared Goff? What do you think his fantasy prospects look like as the season progresses?
Well, I think he's about to enter into a stretch of games where he's not going to have it as easy. But, you know, I trust McVay to put him in a position to succeed. I mean, you know, if the pass rush is hard, he's going to be, you know, quick drops and quick get rid of the ball. He's got plenty of weapons, right? So, you know, I think he's going to be fine. I don't know that he's going to be an every week starter, but there are plenty of people out there that stream quarterbacks and, you know, or have three and play situational starts. So I think he's going to be fine in that regard. The way that offense is clicking, what, 40 and 35 points in the last 3 weeks? How can you go wrong with that guy?
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, Goff, I mean, the Rams are definitely a surprise this season. The Bills sitting at 3-1, another team that I thought were pretenders that are possible contenders. There's some changes happening in the NFL. I don't know if I like it.
It's a little weird. I mean, when, you know, when teams that have traditionally just dominated, look at you, Tom Brady, you know, are not really doing it. You got to figure that, you know, they're one pass to Cooks away from being 1-3. Right. Mm. So, you know, it's a little bit weird. I have more quote unquote trust in what the Rams are doing than what I do in what the Bills are doing. And I think it has to do with, you know, future prospects for the quarterback. I'm not sure what Tyrod's fantasy future is or whether his Bills future is really that secure, but I'm pretty secure in Goff's. So I think that the Bills are going to come crashing down to earth at some point.
Listen, Tyrod's fantasy future better be fine this week against Cincinnati, because Drew Brees is on a bye, and that's who I've got facing you this week, my friend, Mr. Tyrod Taylor.
My prospects just increased a bit.
That's true. If you've got Mr. Jameis Winston against the Patriots defense, that's for sure. But I saw you have the Buccaneers defense. Looks like you're going to be streaming a defense this week.
Yeah, I do that. I'm looking at and I'm favored by 16.1 points in the ESPN system. So something better happen quick, man. You're not looking good there.
Well, was that before I switched out Drew Brees? Because Drew Brees being on a bye was probably why you had such a big advantage.
No, Taylor's in there, and you know what? Oh. Devontae Freeman is showing as in bye, so I haven't swapped him out yet. So it's going to be even worse when I put a starter in there.
Oh my goodness gracious! This is starting to look like a terrible season once again for me in the expert league.
Well, you know, the good news for you is that the previews mean nothing, and the games on Sunday mean so.
That is very true. Speaking of the games on Sunday, I mean the other big sort of news item that we'll probably hit a little bit more on the Thursday podcast during the previews. There's some major injuries that went down this past week, especially the quarterbacks. Derek Carr going to miss at least 2 weeks. My guess is he's going to miss a few more than just two. You got Marcus Mariota, who's got the hamstring issue. They are labeling him as day-to-day. My guess is they're playing this game to make the other team try and think that he might play, but I don't think Mariota's sure playing this week. So, I mean, what's your advice to fantasy players as they sort of try and navigate the injury system? You know, 2 weeks ago, I mentioned in my conversation with Matt Chatham last week how I benched Jordan Howard because he was on the injury report all week long, came off it against the Steelers, who I thought were a lock that week, and then the Bears go off. Both Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen go off on that Steelers defense. I mean, how do you navigate these injuries as a fantasy player?
Well, you know, that's the tough part. I mean, you know, if you're sitting there with Amari Cooper or Michael Crabtree and you go from having Derek Carr as your quarterback and all of a sudden it's EJ Manuel, you know, you really have to look hard at whether that's going to be something that you're going to be able to stick with. I mean, you know, obviously Crabtree, when he's playing is you know, a viable start. You know, you really have to look and see what your other options are and just kind of weigh those. You know, Manuel's a backup and, you know, for a reason, obviously. And, you know, what they're going to do probably in Oakland is run the ball a little bit more, which may be better for Rashard and, you know, and your guy, you know, Marshawn. But, you know, for a Crabtree owner, I may look elsewhere. I may look, okay, well, I'm going to start Randall Cobb instead, or, you know, I'm just going to take a hard look at my lineup and see, you know, who I can put in place of those guys. But, you know, like you said, you know, Manuel could have the game of his life like Case Keenum did against Tampa last week. So, you know, it's a dice roll to be sure. And, you know, when your quarterback goes down or the quarterback from one of your best wide receivers goes down, you know, it can definitely throw wobbly into the season.
What have you seen as the biggest theme so far this fantasy season? We're four games in. People have got to be making their moves now. I mean, if you're sitting at 2-2, you're definitely not looking to go 2-3. You want to be 3-2 to give you your best prospects of making the playoffs, especially in this league where everyone is a quote unquote expert. You know, yeah, getting into the playoffs in this particular league is going to be tough if you're under 500 going into week six.
Well, you know, I kind of put fantasy players into a couple of different groups. I'm in one group. I'm in the group that I draft the players that I want, and I pretty much stick with those guys unless they really start to suck, and then I'll jettison them and bring a free agent in off the wire. The other type of player is the person who, like, the day after the draft starts throwing out trade offers and they're constantly tinkering and they're constantly bringing guys in and letting guys go. And you know, the roster they end with is not the roster anywhere close to what they started with. So, you know, I think if you're 2-2 or 1-3 or, good God, 0-4, you really kind of need to start tinkering because what you got isn't working. If you're only losing by a point or two, well, then maybe you're just having bad luck. But, you know, if you're, you know, I'm in a league where I'm 1-3, I just got into the league and there's a scoring system is a little bit funky. So I'm trying to navigate how to do that. So I'm going to just start throwing out trade offers to see if I can just shake the team up a little bit. And that's what I would do is through free agency or trades, just shake it up a little bit.
You mentioned playing in a different league, in a new league. You're one of the newest members to this league. Talk a little bit about that. How you navigate playing in a brand new league, you know, especially when you've been playing fantasy for so long.
Yeah, I mean, I've been at it a while, but, you know, this one league I'm talking about is the scoring system's a little bit weird. You know, quarterbacks are highly overvalued because it's 1 point for 25 yards and 6 points for touchdowns. So quarterbacks have a lot more value than they should, really. Mm. But one thing that's really kind of thrown me is how defenses are overvalued, where you get, you know, you basically start off with, you know, 35 or 40 points when the game starts, because the fewer yards a defense gives up, the more points they get. And there's a whole structure of, you know, points given up and yards given up. And, you know, you can score 30 points with your defense. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that you really have to make sure you study that scoring system before the draft even. And if you start to see things go funky, you know, with the defense or with the way a certain position is scored, making adjustments through the course of the season is key. Now, for this league, you know, for the league, the experts league, it seems to be a little bit easier to navigate because everything's pretty straightforward scoring wise. So it's been not easy. No, I mean, no league is easy. It takes work. But I think I've just gotten unlucky the last couple of games.
It is funny how the season started off and it looked like there was going to be some change in the expert league with some of the former champs starting off slow. But once again, her fantasy football team, Williams, has taken the lead in this league. They are 3-1. No more undefeated teams. Doug from DFSR finally lost a game. But Team Williams, the highest scoring team in the league, and looking at their roster, once again, they killed the draft. They've got high scoring players at pretty much every position. They have a nice balanced team.
Looking at, you know, yeah, any team with Todd Gurley on it is going to do well. In fact, I'm in a dynasty league where a couple years ago I drafted Gurley and Gordon. So having those two guys start every week is a plus. And this week I picked up McCaffrey. So it's like I got two running backs in my flex is those three guys. So I'm 4-0 in that league, no surprise. So Gurley's just a beast. And looking at the rest of their, you know, Dak Prescott has been semi-steady. CJ Anderson's like a roller coaster, but you know, looking at their bench as well, Devin Funches, you know, Devin's going to be playing this coming week. So yeah, I mean, I don't see any problems with this team at all, which is kind of scary. I don't know when they're coming up on my schedule, but I'm going to be a little trepidatious about that one, honestly.
You are the second highest scoring team though in the league, and you're 2-2. So you have at least that going for you.
I've not made the playoffs having the highest scoring team in the league. So that's kind of like kissing your sister, you know. It's like, yeah, you got the highest score, but yeah, you know, see you next year for the playoffs, buddy. You know, it's like second place anyway.
Yeah, but even still, I mean, you're one of the there's more than I thought, but you were one of the few 2-2 teams with a positive point differential, unlike myself, although my point differential is only 5 points in favor of my opponent. So I am losing. Well, when I'm winning big. And when I'm losing just as big.
That's not so good, Jay.
No, it's really not. Kevin, where can people find you?
You can find us on the web at thefantasyfootballguys.com. Of course, blogtalkradio.com/thefantasyfootballguys there. Also Twitter at TFFG.
Awesome. Kevin, thanks so much for joining me. And, you know, good luck this week. I don't think you're going to need it. I'm doing a good enough job of giving you all the luck you need.
Yeah, keep that up, will you? At least through Monday. That'd be fantastic.
And so we have Thursday night football. It is the New England Patriots versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. As we've mentioned once before, we do not have a Tampa Bay Buccaneers super fan. So if you'd like to be that representative, you can send us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com. To fill in, though, I think we have the next best thing. I can reach out to a number of people, and I've reached out to a compadre, part of the Fansided Network over at thepewterplank.com. It is James Yarcho. James, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And just so everyone knows, our Patriots superfan is here with us, Patrick. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, Pod. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm probably doing about the same as you. Although, To be fair, Patrick did mention during the preseason and right before week one that he had his concerns about this Patriots defense. And I don't know, while you mentioned those concerns, Patrick, I think your worst nightmares have been sort of realized at this point.
Yeah, it's way worse than I thought it would be. So for people that don't have a photographic memory, because we produce like 8 hours of content a week, yeah, I was talking with with Nick, our chief super fan, leading up to week one, and he was, you know, he was doing the usual tradition of like, oh, we're going to get trounced by the Patriots. I hope we don't get injuries, you know, that kind of conversation that we normally get on these. And I said, well, I don't know, man. Like, I'm a little worried about the D. Like, I believed fully that we would win that game. Like, I did not think it was going to be this bad. But, you know, they were showing signs all through the preseason of being disorganized and out of position, and not just the rookies, you know, the two rookies that we had. So, like, the team as a whole has been concerning me, well, for years, really. It's like, it's a slow, steady progression that's the result of not getting like high quality draft talent coming in through a pipeline and continuing to replenish your roster. But like, nah, they're looking old and worse. They're looking out of position.
And James, I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers sit at 2-1, but I don't know how comfortable you are at that 2-1.
You know, I kind of chalked the Minnesota loss up to number one, Case Kryptonite Keenum. Who seems to have Tampa's number for whatever reason. He must have been scorned by like an ex-girlfriend who was a Buccaneers fan or from Tampa or something. He's a future Hall of Famer if he plays the Bucs 16 weeks a year. But by and large, I mean, it's kind of what we've expected as Bucs fans. You know, the offense is getting there. There's a lot of people that aren't too thrilled with the lack of chemistry between Jameis and DeSean Jackson so far, but that's something you really see league-wide. I mean, you see it's taking a little while for Terrell Pryor to get into things in Washington and Brandon Cooks in New England and Sammy Watkins in Los Angeles. So, you know, that chemistry will build. But, you know, as of right now, I mean, we're far more confident heading into week five in this season than we were last season. You know, it's just the pass rush has a lot left to be desired. The injuries have hurt a little bit. And then we're just waiting for finally that Winston and DeSean connection to really click.
So, James, you mentioned before we started recording that you're terrified of this particular matchup. And Patrick and I are going to tell you that terrified, I think, is a little too strong because this defense can't stop anybody. I think offensively, you're going to be just fine. I think ultimately what this game will come down to and what we Patriot fans are going to have to look forward to is who has the ball
special
last.
Teams. Oh, okay,
special teams. No.
Yeah.
Not special teams.
Special teams will definitely be a big part of it. Nick Folk is coming off an atrocious performance. Yeah. If I didn't know any better, I would think that Aguayo tied him up and hit him in the new locker room and put on his jersey and tried to kick again. But I'll tell you one of the reasons I'm terrified, and that is, something interesting that I found when I was doing some research for my Monday morning column to recap the game. Since Tom Brady took over as the starting quarterback for the Pats in week one or week three of 2001, the Patriots have lost back-to-back games 7 times. It just doesn't happen. And on top of that, the Buccaneers, since these Thursday night games have started, have been trounced in every one of them. They got obliterated by Kryptonite Keenum and the Rams, and they got trounced by the Falcons twice. So Thursday nights and the Bucs don't mix well, and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick coming off of a loss don't mix well for whoever they're facing. So there's a lot to be concerned about if you're a Bucs fan, but I do think that kind of one of the positives is the fact that we know that the offense can move the ball. You have the return of Doug Martin. So you have these guys coming off of a short week who didn't have time to recover, and you have this fresh pair of legs coming onto the field in Doug Martin that might be able to help the Bucs control the clock and keep Brady on the sideline, which is a huge bonus for the Bucs defense and the Bucs as a whole.
Before I allow you to talk about the defense and how they'll match up against the Bucks offense here, Patrick. Doug Martin, you mentioned, James. How much of the game plan is it for Doug Martin to take over the starting role? Is it a fait accompli? I mean, we had heard talk that even when Doug Martin came back from suspension, that Jaquizz Rodgers might keep the job, or is it definitely Doug Martin's job now?
I think if you had seen the running game perform better than it has in the first 3 weeks, it would have been a little bit more of a timeshare. I do think they are going to ease Doug in a little bit. And he won't get the full load, in my opinion, unless he's just running rampant. You know, Dirk Koetter is a big proponent of riding the hot hand. And if Doug comes out like gangbusters, they're going to ride that all game long. But I think it'll be a relatively even timeshare between Martin, Jaquizz, and Charles Sims in the passing situations, you know, for the first few games. And I think Doug Martin will slowly take over that role. I was of the very strong belief in the offseason that Doug Martin was not going to be wearing a Buccaneers uniform, and they managed to draft the one running back in the entire draft class that was terrible in Jeremy McNichols, who's now with San Francisco, instead of addressing it with a Marlon Mack or a Kareem Hunt or even Dalvin Cook, which I understand the asking price to move up to get him in the second was too high for the Bucs. But I do think that Doug Martin is going to add a spark and is going to help this offense. You know, if he is the Doug Martin of 2015, if he's last year's Doug Martin, it's not going to be long before he's out the door.
Patrick, I mean, I'm concerned all across the board here. Doug Martin, the Patriots defense hasn't been able to stop the run. I believe they're allowing 5.6 yards per carry so far this season. They can't stop the pass. The number one wide receivers, which is usually what the Patriots shut down, they haven't done a good job so far this season. I see Mike Evans, who's a top five wide receiver in this league, and I go, that's not good. But the guy that really scares me isn't so much DeSean Jackson as much as it's Chris Godwin on the Buccaneers side. How do you see the Patriots D matching up against this offense?
I mean, like, not well, Pod. Like, it's the best way that we have to defend the run seems to be just allowing everybody to throw all over us, right? So, like, why drive when you could fly? That's our defense's motto. And, like, we can't contain the edge because we have, you know, suspect defensive ends with no depth behind them. We, you know, can't really generate much semblance of a pass rush for the same reason. And we can't seem to cover for more than like 3 seconds. So man, like if I'm a young, semi-competent quarterback, I'm just coming and looking to pad my resume today. I'll be checking the pass all day. Like there's no point in running the football on the Patriots. Not because the run defense is good, because you could just rack up a whole lot of yardage and set some individual passing records if you just throw on us all day long. And then you're forcing Brady to try and, you know, Matt serve, which he can certainly do. The one thing I was absolutely wrong about in the preseason is I was predicting the imminent decline of Brady's skills. He honestly looks better than I've ever seen him play. But like, man, is it tough keeping pace with our defense?
I mean, the other, not to just throw some more, you know, oil on the fire here, but for us Patriot fans, it's interesting to see a dual tight end threat in Cameron Brait and OJ Howard. And oh, by the way, Jameis Winston, another mobile quarterback, which the Patriots defense has trouble against.
Why leave the pocket though? Honestly, like no sense tiring out your legs, especially if you have two tights. So our safeties have been relatively out of position all year anyway, and playing catch up and late to get over to help. So you're going to run a couple of like twin tight end patterns and see what happens. Like, it's just, I'm not looking forward to Thursday night. I'm really not. And I normally love the Thursday night games.
Isn't this awesome, James? You're hearing, oh, woe is me from Patriot fans. It's cool. The greatest it's thing stereo. That the rest of the NFL must be hearing right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I think for the rest of us non-Patriot fans, we kind of look at it as like, come on, you know, you guys are going to end up winning the division and making a run of the playoffs, probably getting to the Super Bowl. I heard another Patriots fan the other day on a podcast I listened to just say, you know, 2-2 and the sky is falling. And another one of the hosts just said, really, just knock it off. You guys are going to win 12 games.
Do you want to hear an awesome stat? And I'm sorry, do you prefer going by, you know, the Dread Pirate James, or you just prefer Yar?
Either or. I'll take either or.
All right, so Yar, check this out. So as a career, the player with the highest career completion percentage of all time is Drew Brees, who comes in at like 71%, right? But 74% of the time, Tom Brady's team goes to the AFC Championship game. So statistically, Tom Brady is more likely to go to the AFC Championship game in any given season than the best quarterback of all time is of completing any given pass.
That sounds about right. that's an incredible stat, but at the same time, it's not surprising. You know, seeing Drew Brees twice a year, and then seeing Tom Brady's just unbelievable success, I can't say that I'm shocked by either one of those numbers.
You know, Patrick, you mentioned Tom Brady, so we'll switch to the Patriots offense versus the Bucs defense now. Brady really has been phenomenal in these last few games. As bad as the Patriots defense has been, Brady has been that good without Julian Edelman, which I don't really want to accentuate that point, but I mean, Edelman is a good receiver and was definitely his whoopee in past times. But this Patriots offense is definitely clicking. If they could get the defense to make one stop, perhaps the Patriots will do well here. And I'm looking specifically at any matchup against Vernon Hargreaves.
Yeah, I concur. I mean, Brady's putting together, I've already mentioned it, like it's literally the best I've ever seen him play, like better than 07. Like he's really just kind of doing it by himself back there with a suspect O-line and a complete dearth of receivers. Like we've got like two wide receivers, and I guess we added a third who, I don't know what they're doing. If they're explaining they're drawing lines in the dirt for him for the playbook before the snap of the ball or what, but they're making it work with Dorsett. They're making it work with everybody. Like he's honestly firing on all cylinders. The game where he on two separate occasions corrected the refs on their calls on the field, like just shows like how on top of his game he really is. In addition to like the accuracy and the decision making, it's really phenomenal to watch. Aside from that, though, like we do have a suspect receiving core. Gronk has been playing okay, like not truly elite, but okay, like a good tight end. He's been playing like a good tight end. And our line has been suspect at best and generated no real holes for the running game. So it's like the Tom Brady show on offense coupled by just a tire fire on defense. So it's, which again just like perpetuates the need to throw the ball anyway. So it's going to be just a whole lot of Tom Brady on Thursday night.
James, I mentioned the hole in your defense in Vernon Hargreaves, but are there any other weaknesses that we Patriot fans can look to exploit?
The funny thing about Hargreaves is he's so good with tracking the ball and his ball skills, but his 12-yard cushions on these receivers allow for just ridiculous plays against him, and it has Bucs fans already turning against him. I'm not quite ready to call him a hole, but he does need to learn how to be more aggressive. One of the things to look for the Patriots, going up against the Bucs defense is the Bucs look to be without Quan Alexander and Lavonte David for the second consecutive week. Quan Alexander is very much the heart and soul of the defense, besides Gerald McCoy, and Lavonte David he's a Pro Bowl player, and he was playing better than he had played in the last three or four seasons, through the preseason and the first game of the year, and all through the Vikings game up until he got his ankle rolled on. So you're looking at, a draft pick in Kendall Beckwith, who was coming off an ACL surgery, who is defying the odds for all intents and purposes. His intelligence and his ability on the field as a rookie, after that miraculous recovery, to be in a position to be playing football already. I mean, he tore his ACL in November, and he's now the starting middle linebacker. He played extremely well in Kwan's absence. And then you have Adarius Glanton, and you have Cameron Lynch, and you have Devontae Bond. I mean, these linebackers aren't going to scare anybody. It looks like TJ Ward isn't going to play again. So that leaves the safeties as Chris Conte and potentially Keith Tandy. But Keith Tandy was out of practice yesterday with a hip. So that leaves rookie Justin Evans, who is not very good as the other safety. So, you know, for a defensive line that leads the NFL in pressures but has one sack on the season, going against a quarterback who just doesn't get sacked, he's so good at getting the ball out so quickly. There could be some problems on these underneath passes, and then safeties that have issues tackling.
Interesting. And of course, you had mentioned special teams earlier in this matchup, where I see it as a game that it could come down to a final kick. You just aren't feeling very confident in Nick Folk right now.
No, not at all. But what I am confident in is, if the Bucs are in a position where they're going to punt, which I'm sure will come up, at least once or twice during the game. Every defense seems to get at least one stop every now and again, despite how bad we are. And I use the term "we" because we've had our issues stopping offenses as well. Now that Pat McAfee has retired, I will argue to the death that Brian Anger is the best punter in the NFL, and the Bucs punt coverage is one of, if not the best. And they have a knack for, no matter where he's punting from, they're going to pin it inside the 20 and they're going to flip the field. And we've seen time and time again, the Gunners in Josh Robinson and Ryan Smith down the ball inside the 5 and put the defense in a favorable position. So I'm confident in the ability to flip the field if needed. And that's not to say that Tom Brady won't turn around and march the ball right back down the field, because we know he's fully capable. But one of the strongest, one of the strong suits of this team is their punt coverage team. And so I'm fully confident in that aspect. I hope that Nick Folk is the veteran that we know he is, and he has a bounce back day. At the same time, for my Monday morning column, I made a list of 6 punters that can come in and replace him, and I won't be upset if they do. So if it comes down to a kick, we're going to be chewing on our nails, just like we would if Aguayo was still on the team.
Yeah, I mean, punt, any sort of kick return, Patrick, has been non-existent for the Patriots since they lost all their kick returners in the preseason to injury. Deion Lewis just does not take the ball out of the end zone on kickoffs. And Danny Amendola, since he suffered his concussion earlier this season, really has been sort of fair catching it as best he can. Although we didn't see many punts in the last game.
No, and in the game before, he did have a good solid return in garbage time, but like 32 yards, I want to say offhand. But Amendola is good, but with no healthy wide receivers, why would you have him back there to return? Like, very little good can come from that long term, which calls into question our punt return team. And our punt coverage team, like, that might be pretty good, except our punter's been pretty erratic. So if we're talking about punting, and I'm sure the rest of the podcast listeners will love this conversation, but if we're talking about punting, like, it legitimately could play dramatically impact the outcome of this game. If the Patriots' defense is, let's be kind and say, soft, and we're looking at a shootout because of that, then yeah, like, field position really, really matters a lot in that scenario. And your punting team's ability or inability to move the ball kind of comes into play.
Patrick, you got a prediction for this one?
Oh God, my predictions have been so bad this year. I'll still predict the Patriots win, and I'll say, oh, let's go with 32-24. But I don't feel good about it.
How about you, James?
I unfortunately will also take the Patriots. We'll go 38-34.
Interesting. I'm going to stay with the theme and stick with the Patriots. Also not feeling confident about it with my fingers crossed, 33-30. You definitely want to take the over in this, which is set right now at 55.5. Patriots, though, giving anywhere from 5 to 6 points, depending on what book you're using. I think that's too high. I think this is a field goal game. So it's obviously a risk that I'm taking the Patriots for the win, but the Bucks to cover. But that's sort of the way I see it. James, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @JYarko_Bucks or at the Pewter Plank. I run the Pewter Plank Twitter account. So I tend to interact more on that than I do my personal account.
Awesome. James, thanks so much for joining us on the Next Fan Up podcast. And, you know, good luck to you the rest of the season.
It was my pleasure. Good luck to you guys. Hopefully we both escape with no major injuries.
So there you have it, folks. That'll do it for today's show. Hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to follow James. A big thank you to James of thepewterplank.com for joining us and previewing the Tampa Bay game. Yes, you heard it. I'm not that confident about the Patriots at this point until they figure out what's going on in their offense. You know, everyone I've spoken to, Matt Chatham and among others out there, say this defense is going to get better. I just don't understand why it hasn't gotten better already. It's 4 weeks already. This defense should be as simple as it possibly can be so that it can be successful. I saw Tony Dungy say on Football Night in America this past week, it's not a talent problem. So if it's not a talent problem, then it's a coaching problem. And if it's a coaching problem, well, you've got the greatest coach of all time sitting on that sideline. What the heck is going on? All right, enough of me complaining about the Patriots. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you'll leave us a review. Hope you'll share it with your friends and family. And beyond all of that, I hope you enjoy it. And with that, here's Landry Jones. There you have it.
Next week will be next week. Today I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go back home and hang out.